translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada. The entire cosmic manifestation has merged from water, and it is because of water all living entities endure, live, and develop. This water is nothing but the semen of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, may that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has such potency, be pleased of us. Purport. Despite the theories of so-called scientists, the vast quantities of water on this planet and other planets are not created by a mixture of hydrogen and oxygen. Rather, the water is sometimes explained to be the perspiration and sometimes the semen of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is from water that all living entities emerge. And because of water, they live and grow. If there is no water, all life would cease. Water is the source for everyone. Therefore, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have so much water all over the world. So, in our seeing this purport is just talking about the water or the oceans on this planet and how much it is covering. Apparently, I've been told it's the oceans or the water covers 2/3 of this planet. And, of course, there's many other planets with water on. So this is just like a scientific purport. But in our line, we have generally this... We have two considerations. One is what we call a paravichara. That means apparently this is just talking about water and then life like this in the universe. But our consideration as Gaudiya Vaishnavas is tatavichara, the absolute truth. Now, to see this, so underneath this purport is actually is a very deep purport, which I'm not qualified to understand. But to give a very simple explanation is that if one is flying over to America, you're flying over the Atlantic, and if you could fly low, when you're flying, you see the Atlantic, the water. It seems quite, there's nothing happening, But if one could get on water level, you might see it rough, and then if you could actually go into it, you'll see life, different forms of life, fish, another. Forms of life. So underneath this purport is a very deep purport, and we can only see this only if we actually dive into this ocean, this water of the Bhagavatam, this life of the Bhagavatam. And the only way to do this is that the mercy is needed. Now it says in Adi Leela, chapter 4, verse 1, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he says, Sri Chaitanya Prasada Dena Tadruprayasya Virvanayayam Balo Apikoti Sastaram Disva Braja Vileshana. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even a foolish child can fully describe the real nature of Lord Krishna, the enjoyer of the pastimes of Braj, according to the vision of the revealed scriptures. So, as it said in the beginning of the purport, this cosmic manifestation. But what is this cosmic manifestation? It's actually a prison house created by Parvati, Durga Devi. And as we know, the pastime in Samantadweep, where Lord Shiva is meditating and chanting the name of Gaura, and Parvati inquiring, why are you chanting the name of this Gaura? I'd never heard of him. Why? Where is he? He said, this Lord Shiva, he says, my dear chaste wife, this is the name of my Lord Krishna, who will come in Kali Yuga. And she says, will I go there? Can I go there and see this Gaura myself? He said, yes, you may go. So she takes permission and goes, and then after some time, and after chanting the name of Gaura, Gaura appears to her. But she's crying. And she says, Lord Chaitanya says, what are you crying for? You know I'm in charge of the material energy, material world. But and my duty is to capture all the conditioned living entities and put them in and keep them captive here. But then Lord Chaitanya says, but without your mercy, my dear Parvati, I cannot have any pastimes on this planet or in this universe. So it's your mercy I can come here and perform pastimes. So don't feel so bad about it. So then, of course, we know that so this shows that the material universe has a secondary and a primary purpose. This means that the secondary, the primary one is that the Lord can come here in this material universe manifestation to perform his pastimes, not just in the form of Krishna or Lord Chaitanya, but in the form of Lord Vraha, Lord Nrisimhadev, Kurma, Matsya, and the rest of the avatars, the main avatars. So this is to show. So the conditioned souls who are captured in this material manifestation, entangled in it, can get out of it. And so then, so this is the mercy of the material nature. She's very, you know, she's merciful, and her duty is to punish us for our sinful activities and reactions and so on like this. But also that she's given us a way out of this material world, a chance to read about the pastimes of the Supreme Lord in his whatever form we are attracted to. Now, many devotees are attracted to many different forms of the Lord. One may be a Gaura Bhakta, one may be a Krishna Bhakta, one may be a Jagannath Bhakta, and so on. This is there due to, just like Mari Gupta, he couldn't, even though he was instructed by Lord Caitanya to give up the worship of Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman and Sita Devi, but he couldn't. He tried for a few days, but he couldn't. He went back. He couldn't give up the worship of Lord Ram, because we know who he was anyway. He was actually Hanuman, of course. But the purports, the conclusion is that for the teachings of that purport. Oh, sorry, the teachings of that pastime is that. One cannot give up such worship of one's worshipable form of the Supreme Lord. No matter how we try. So, the Supreme Lord, as we know, has many forms, but they all they're all manifested in the form of Lord Caitanya. And there's many pastimes where Lord Caitanya actually manifests his forms and if we go to holy places in Mayapur Dham or even in Puri and even Vrindavan where Lord Caitanya visited, and we see that the nectarine sweet pastimes, and if we actually meditate upon them, will actually deliver us from our material conditioning. And it's like the other day Lalita Satyamataji speaking on Lord Varaha. So after the class, I was explaining to one devotee in the room I'm sharing with, I explained to him that if we there's one place just down in on the Ganga Mayapur called Panchaveni, where the five holy rivers meet together, and it's such a glorious place. It's such a sweet place there, and it's where the five rivers only meet together, and it's explained there in the Nadrit Mahatma that such glorious place that Lord Brahma at one time performed millions of yajnas there, and that's the actual place where Lord Varaha actually killed Hiranyaksha at that place. But he says, and then he was saying that, but how can it be in such a small place all these things are happening? You know? If we just see a small yajna here in this temple room, it seems like it's taking a lot of room up, but Lord Brahma doing 1 million yajnas at one time in that small area, let alone the size of Lord Varaha in that small area. But then I explained to him that you're seeing that place with material vision. You're seeing it with our defective vision. We cannot see even, you know, some of us have got to have glasses to read. So how can we see? So how can we see such the glories of such a place? And so he said, I said, this is not just Mayapur, but also Vrindavan as well. You know, we may go to Vrindavan, you know, you see loads of, you know, animals in the gutters eating stool and rubbish in the gutter and beggars and so on. But if we actually saw the real Vrindavan, the real Mayapur, then we wouldn't actually want to come back to this, come back, you know, back to the West. This is what actually Lokanath Swami said one time when he took some when he was on the Brajmandal Parakram. At the end, one devotee, Lokanath Swami, he said, how many of you enjoyed the Parakram? He said, of course they all put their hand up. He said, now how many of you are going back to your different yatras and countries? He said, and they all said, good. He said, because he said, if what you got was just a glimpse of what Mayapur is, if Krishna showed you what it was really like, you wouldn't go back to preach. And so we when we hear these pastimes of the Lord in whatever form we're in, they are like life to us, life to the devotees. They keep us alive, just like water. No, we can't survive apparently a week, so is it 2 weeks without water, otherwise we'll die of thirst. And so these pastimes of the sweet Lord are also alive to us, and they keep us going and keep us going until we get fully absorbed in them, and we just see them and read about them, and we see them through the pages of the scriptures and the different pastimes given by the different acharyas. Now, seemingly, as I asked Lalita Mataji the other day when she gave classes, because I missed some of it, and I said, which pastime did you speak on at Lord Varaha? Because there was two appearances of Lord Varaha, one red and one white. Now, they're both performing the same pastime, they're both bringing the Earth planet out of the water, but they're in different millenniums. Of course, the one we speak about is the white one, the white form, where he's saves and he fights, kills Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyaksha. So it's the same pastime, but in different. It's like the one time I asked, Bhakti Pashota Maharaj. The different pastimes, so there's two pastimes of the appearance of Lord Jagannath. One we know, the well-known one is where with Maharaj Indradrumna. And the other one is where Krishna is in Dwarka. And the queens are asking, how did Krishna appear? And so there's two different pastimes. I forget the details of the other pastime now. But there's two pastimes of how Lord Jagannath appeared. And then I asked the question, how, you know, are they both same pastimes? Are these pastimes the same? He said, yes, they're the same pastimes. It's just one happened before the other. Because Lord Jagannath, he doesn't just appear once, he appears again and again in different yugas, in different millenniums. So according to, they appear like different, but the details are different. The next example I can think of is Bhakti Vijayapurna Maharaj. He's speaking on this topic some years back in Mayapur on the Sunday morning, and he said, and he explained it when he was in America, in the temple in America where he joined. He was the one of the cooks there. And that week they just got tons and tons of cabbage. I mean, tons and tons of cabbage. That's all they had. So he had to cook cabbage the whole day. Breakfast, lunch, evening, for 2 weeks. Of course, people get fed up eating khichdi just twice a week, let alone eating cabbage three times a day for 2 weeks. But what he did, because he's an expert cook, if you ever get a chance to taste some of Bhaktivedanta Maharaj's cooking, it's worth waiting for. But he said because he used different chaunces and different spices, it looked like cabbage, but the taste was different. So Krishna's pastimes are like that. Krishna's pastimes are, or the Lord, sweet Lord's pastimes are multifarious. But according to the details, they're different. Like it says in the 10th canto commentary of the Bhagavatam by Vishnath Chakrabarti Thakur, where he says he's narrating the pastime of Krishna subduing the Kaliya serpent in the Yamuna. So of course we know the Leela that we read in the Bhagavatam in the 10th canto here. But Vishnath Chakrabarti is slightly bit different. He describes at the end, in the last verse of his purports, that when in this 10th canto that we got here, Krishna says, "Now you go back to the island where you came from." But I can't go because, Garuda will grab me and eat me. But he said, you've got the footprints. You have the footprints on my, you got my footprints on your head. So when Garuda sees this, you'll be okay. But in Vishnath Chakrabarti's commentary, he says, Krishna says, now you go back to Fiji. Because apparently that's the modern day, that's the place, Fiji's modern place. This is why Prabhupada installed the deity of Kaliya serpent there, without Radharani. It's one of the few deities in ISKCON without Radharani, with Krishna's dancing on the head of Kaliya. And so... so then the last verse describes a Kaliya serpent saying, whenever you need me, I will come. I will go, my Lord, I will go. But when you need me, I'll be here as quick as a flash, as they say. And so therefore, it is also, then it goes on to describe that in some past yuga, Krishna goes to Mathura to kill Kamsa riding on the hood of Kaliya. And also it's described that the other details, now this is also Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj in one class, he was saying that in some other yuga, Krishna performed the same pastime of Agasura. when he killed the Agasura demon, he didn't actually kill him. He captured him and tied him up outside the ashram of the Agasura Muni. He left him outside. He tied him up and left him outside the ashram there. So he didn't actually kill him in that. But in this Leela, in Bhumi Vrindavan, we know now he actually killed him. So there's slightly different details. So these pastimes are going on and on. And these Leelas, as I say, are like, net water to us. They give us life. So therefore, of course, these Leelas can't be understood ordinarily. We have to have the mercy, as it says by Lord Chaitanya, he says here, as I just said, we have to have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Even a foolish child like me can actually fully describe the nature of Lord Krishna. So of course the mercy then comes. So how do we get the mercy? The mercy comes through the mercy of the acharya, of the living acharya, an acharya who's living, who understands the purpose and purport of the leelas. And this acharya, or sadguru or shiguru, as some call him or her, can enlighten us in all these pastimes and explain to us these pastimes. But to really these pastimes are nice, very nice, and they may be life to us, but these pastimes, they have a conclusion, they have a tattva behind them. Each pastimes of Krishna, there's some deep purport behind them that we have to understand. And these are explained in the 11th canto, where Krishna sends Uddhava to Bhadrak Ashram to explain all these pastimes to the sages and rishis in Bhadrak Ashram, because Krishna didn't go to Bhadrak Ashram, and the saints and the rishis, they wanted to hear these pastimes, so he sent Uddhava, his most dear servant, to explain them. And if you read the 11th canto, so it's important to read the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, because if we don't, we may read the 10th canto, but we can easily still fall down, because we haven't understand the tattvas or the absolute truth mentioned in these pastimes. And this, in the 11:536, it actually describes Kali Yuga, age of Kali, and 11:534 also explains the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. So in 5:36, it explains that we know we're living in Kali Yuga, and it's the most degraded age to live in. But it's a very good age for enlightenment. So 11:536, it says, Kalim Sabadyajati adya guna jana sara bhaganyana yatra sankirtan bhavado sava sabat sabatyaho labhavlajyate. Those who are actually advanced in knowledge will be able to appreciate the essential value of the age of Kali. Such enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga, because in this fallen age all perfection of life can easily be achieved by the performance of Sankirtan, in brackets, Nama Sankirtan. So, this is Kali Yuga we're living in, but if we're actually, people always criticizing, they're saying, oh, this is Kali Yuga, I'm a victim of Kali Yuga, you know, Kali Yuga this, Kali Yuga that, Kali Yuga this. But if we're actually advanced enough, we can actually appreciate this Kali Yuga, because it is the only Yuga that is given, has been given us the most easiest process. And we know in different, the three different Yugas, there's three different processes, which nowadays would be impossible to follow. But in this Kali Yuga, and also this Kali Yuga is a very special Kali Yuga, because this Kali Yuga, the next Kali Yuga, Lord Caitanya, will not appear. He's appeared in this Kali Yuga. Only in one day of Brahma, Lord Caitanya appears. Just the same as Krishna appears. When Krishna appears personally, then Lord Caitanya follows immediately afterwards. So this is a very special Kali Yuga we're living in. And so therefore we have to accept the Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, and now Mahaprabhu then is very merciful to all the conditioned souls. It says that he's freely giving out prema bhakti to everybody. So how is he doing this? Again, it says in the Adi Leela 4:40, Seidura Achandale Ketana Sangsara Nama Prema Mala Gunta Prachali Samsare. Excuse my Bengali. But the English translation is more easier. Thus Mahaprabhu spread Kirtan among the untouchables. He wore a wreath of the holy name and prema, which he garlanded the whole entire material world. So Mahaprabhu has garlanded the whole material world. So the question we can ask ourselves, are we or have been garlanded by Lord Caitanya? You can ask yourself this question and answer yourself back if you like. And to those who say they haven't, why we haven't accepted the garland that's been offered, the whole material world has been garlanded by Lord Caitanya. So why haven't we been garlanded by Lord Caitanya, by the wreath of the holy name and prema? It's because who have been sleeping. And those who sleep, they miss their share. We're sleeping in the witch called Maya. Because in this material world, we only have two options: to serve Krishna or serve Maya. And no matter if we're on the highest pinnacle of society or down to the lowest beggar in the world, everyone has to bend their knee and bend their head and put their hands together and pay obeisances to the Supreme Lord, no matter who they are. And this should be said, in a nice way, you know, bold preaching. In one conversation I've got on my computer, I should have put the computer in to read it out, but in one conversation between one disciple and Bhaktisiddhanta Swati Thakur, it's from the one of the articles from the from one of his publications, and he's saying once one disciple asked the question, how should we preach to the conditioned souls? He said, one should preach boldly, because everyone generally in Kali Yuga is sick. So we can give the general medicine. And if we don't preach boldly, we are not pleasing Sri Guru Angaranga, and we will end up atheists. So, of course, and then on this Krishnabindu magazine, which I get over the internet, also, it's above it, is Prabhupada speaks on the same. It's a letter from Prabhupada. He said, we must preach the absolute truth. No contradictions, nothing like this at all. We must be absolute truth. But as to be said in a nice way. But one should not, at the same time, not deviate from the absolute truth just to suit people's, just to suit individuals. No, we have to preach them boldly, but in a nice way, which they will not feel offended. And we can see sometimes Prabhupada, he would say things, you know, like, you rascal, these demons and demon scientists, you know. But if we actually go to these people and say, you're demon rascals, and they're gonna, you know, not be very appreciative to us. But at the same time, we have to speak the absolute truth. Like this one story of Akbar and Babel. Akbar is the Muslim emperor, and Babel was his Hindu prime minister. He's the only Hindu amongst his government. And he was very famous for being wise. He had so much nice wisdom. So one day, this astrologer comes to him and said, Babel, I have a problem. I said, what is your problem? He says, you know, he said, you're a good astrologer. You're very famous over the land. He said, yes, and you're very accurate, 100% accurate in whatever you do and say. He said, yes. So what is your problem? He said, one day I went to see somebody, and he says, Jyotishri, please No, here's my hand. Read my hand. See what, well, no, what fortune is waiting for me. So then he looks and he says, your whole family will die very soon. And then the customer, you see, got very angry. He said, what is this nonsense? My whole family will die before me. You know, it's just, get out the door. I don't believe you. You're just a fake. You know, you're an imposter, but I'm going to spread rumors. I'm going to speak to everybody in the whole town like this about you. And he said, what do I do about in this situation? What do I do? So then he said, I tell you what to do. You just do exactly what I say and everything will become all right, and you will end up with 3 bags of gold as a reward as well. Okay, so then what do I do? He says, now you disguise yourself. You put yourself in disguise. And you stand outside the house of that person. And you proclaim, astrologer for hire, astrologer for hire. Now, because he hasn't had any astrology for 2 weeks or some time, he's immediately going to look and see, let's invite him in. And you do what I say. Exactly word for word. So, okay, so then he disguises himself. And he says, shouts, astrologer for hire, astrologer for hire. And then he says, oh, an astrologer. And he looks and he's underneath the tree, come in. He sends one servant out. The master wants to see you. He says, okay. It's okay, George. He says, please read my hand. He says, you will outlive your family. In other words, he said the same thing. First of all, he said, your family is going to die before you. Then he says, in a different way, he says, you will outlive your family. And with that, he is very happy. Oh, he said, I'm going to outlive my family. Oh, wait here. And he goes to the back room and gives him 3 bags of gold. And then, so this is one little story that from Akbar, that's very, and Bible series, that's very enlightening and so on. It's how we say things. But same time, he didn't compromise. This astrology didn't compromise. He just said it in a different way. So in our preaching, we have to do the same. And then our life will, then Shiguru and Gauranga will be happy. And then at the end of our life will be perfect. And then we'll go back home, back to Godhead. And because without pleasing Shiguru and Gauranga, we cannot do anything. We're totally dependent on the mercy of the Lord, as it's in the purport of verse 32, we're totally dependent. No one is the jiva. No living entity is independent. Living entity is dependent. The only independent person is Krishna. So, I'll end there. And is there any questions or corrections or?